Hi friends, Venkat Iyer again here, and here I am taking the concluding chapter of this book, Training in Corporate India, chapter number 13. So here we are covering broadly all the various sectors and how the training is being conducted today, what forms of training, what are the specialties that are required for this. Know more about training in India, that's the objective, as you know. Indian training organizations are now establishing themselves across the globe. There was a time when Indian training organizations were not even accepted in the Indian business scenario. But today they have become highly sought after globally. You can find Indian training companies, Indian trainers going across to different countries, doing training and adding value to them. Indian learning and development professionals have sent a benchmark in reputed organizations. I'm very proud to tell you, you know, that Indians are Indian L&D people, Indian trainers. You know, we have a very broad outlook towards life because of the way we live. We are a multicultural society. We are having so many languages, so many regions, so many states. Within the same language, there are so many dialects. And most of us today in India are exposed to more than our own mother tongue, at least about 3 or 4 languages, which means 3 or 4 cultures and more. And because of the way we live, because of this movement we are having among us, the Indian mindset, the Indian trainer's mindset is much more broad-based, unlike the trainers who are coming from other places. In fact, Eastern cultures, starting from, say, Middle East, right up to, you can say, the Japan, not even Japan, maybe part of, you know, the ASEAN countries, you know, Philippines and all those 6 or 7 countries out there, you'll find that the Eastern cultures are having trainers who are able to look at the human behavior in a much more broader way. And this is very heartening to note that we make one of the best trainers today. I'm seeing this everywhere. Very proud to tell you that many of my colleagues who are all settled abroad and who are also in India, they're also doing very well abroad. They are sought after, they are being retained by many large brands, global brands, for doing a lot of training. Indian trainers are being increasingly wooed, being increasingly called upon by overseas firms such as across sectors such as financial services, BPOs, hospitality, healthcare, to replicate the winning mantra that etched India prominently on the global outsourcing map. India has been the outsourcing country for many, many global brands for the last about 25-30 years, as you know. And our outsourcing business, BPOs, which we run India for companies abroad, they've done a remarkably great job because of the hard work which our Indian people have put in. Plus, we have also produced results which is remarkable at a very low cost. The cost of labor compared to what is prevalent in the advanced countries is much, much attractive for them. So now, taking this further, Indian trainers are everywhere, be it imparting communication training for local BPOs in the Philippines or imparting soft skill training to hotel staff in Southeast Asia. Some companies' names are here: Pragati Leadership, Franklin Covey, Visible Learning, and Dale Carnegie are finding themselves much in vogue in professions they train. Some of these companies are globally known. Some of these companies are picking up like anything. They're pretty good presence they have in India as well as abroad, right? Price is a big advantage as well, given the ability of Indian trainers to manage scale as well as cost arbitrage. Cost arbitrage means the difference between the cost here and cost elsewhere. The difference between the cost with an Indian trainer with respect to a non-Indian trainer. So given the ability of Indian trainers to manage scale as well as a cost arbitrage, Indian trainers may charge more moderately than trainers based in UK or US or other countries where they are considered to be expensive. With huge talent pool availability in India, training industry, foreign clients are now getting attracted towards hiring the trainers to replicate the Indian model. An important ingredient in the success of these Indian trainers outside the country has been the experience they carry, along with considerable cost differentiation that they offer to the clients. That experience part of it is what I was mentioning some time back. We have a very multivariate experience because of the lifestyle we lead. Whether you are living in the village or the smaller towns or in the larger cities, every Indian goes through multiple experiences because of the way our whole country is dispersed. Cross-cultural, multicultural, polyglot type of a culture. with different religions, different communities coming together. So our experience in human behavior is much more pronounced. The most sought after skills today include leadership development, management development, basic selling and customer handling skills. These are just a few. Going forward, the demand for trainers will grow, that is for sure. Now, I'll be covering each of the sectors where the training and development scenario is being focused upon. First, we start with retail FMCG sector, fast moving consumer goods. It's the most booming sector in the Indian economy and is expected to grow in the excess of $250 billion by 2025. One of the studies have shown this. The figure is not important. What we are trying to say is that it's growing in leaps and bounds. With this rapid expansion and coming up of major players in the sector, the need of human resources development has increased. Lack of skilled workers is a major factor that's holding back the retail sector for high growth. The sector is facing a severe shortage of trainers. It's got certain type of a uniqueness of training that needs to be given. So that is lacking today. We don't have good trainers to take care of that, because the retail sector itself has grown so much that the demand is more and the supply is meager, nothing. Also, the current education system is not sufficiently prepared to address the new processes according to the industry majors. So many people from the retail FMCG sector have noticed, their own feedback is that our education system is not aligned to understanding this business. It's like my training business. Even today, the Indian main society, the society mainstream doesn't recognize training as a line of business. They think it's teaching, they think it's giving lectures. So there are certain types of businesses which are still not understood by people. Okay. And that is what is one of the feedback given from retail FMCG sector to the, as far as the current education system is concerned. Education not in terms of only college and MBA and all that, but it's much more than that. Some of the training programs that are common in retail sectors, retail FMCG sectors, are sales training, very, very common, the oldest training ever you can think of. Talk about a pharma company, retail FMCG, sales training is a backbone of it. Customer relationship management, which is about retaining customers, continued relationship with them, and online market research. Now we come to the automobile sector. The Indian automobile sector is growing at a rate of 16% as per one study and is expected to be the second fastest growing automobile market in the world. Yes, we have created a major impact on the global automobile market for various reasons. Indian automobile sector is really growing in a big way. Both indigenously made cars, vehicles, and also those with collaborations. The sector is growing through a phase of rapid change, high growth and technological changes. The major players such as Maruti, Honda, Toyota, Bajaj, just to name a few, are now focusing on mass customization, mass production, and are expanding their plants. The growth in automobile sector is fueled by growing urbanization. Many, many people, many, many towns, many, many smaller villages are becoming urbanized. Their lifestyles are changing to become like cities. From an agrarian, farming or a agricultural background, people are more becoming urbanized and industrialized. So this urbanization brings about raising standard of living of consumers. Their standard of living is going up. So when I go to my own village, I find that, you know, what they were doing 10 years back, they are doing something different. They are almost doing the same things which we are doing in the city. Easy availability of finance. Today, finance has become very easy for you to get. Easy loans, good rate of interest, easy payment terms. Globalization of Indian automobile industry. So Indian automobile industry has put a mark in the world map. Global competitiveness of Indian automobiles. We are competitive enough with other countries, automobile manufacturers. Interest and trust on reliability and quality of the Indian automobiles. Currently, automobile companies operating in India are increasing their reach by entering into joint ventures. Some companies like Skoda and Volkswagen have come together, so has Fiat and Chrysler, just to give some example. With this rapid expansion and coming up of major players in the sector, the focus is more on the skilled employees and the need for human resources development has increased. Why skilled employees? We'll understand in the subsequent slides. The learning and development centers in automobile units are providing a high standard of education and training in automotive technology, as well as providing them with employment opportunities. Okay. The companies are thus looking for skilled and hardworking people who can give their best to their organization. Training programs are centered around automation and human skills needed to adapt to automation work environment. Today, any automobile unit you take, it is automated. We are having the use of robots and we are having the use of reducing manpower, but these manpower which are reduced in numbers have to be highly skilled. Earlier on, when we did not have technology advanced, when we had no automation or less automation, the manpower was more. Now it's inversely proportional. The automation has increased, and so what has happened is the human beings who are operating these automated machines have to be highly skilled. Work environment in auto sectors has gone through rapid change with the infusion of robotics and related forms of automation. Engineers and workmen are trained into how to absorb the process of unlearning and relearning. So this is one of the things. I was involved in one of the automobile companies in this process of an intervention wherein they had to go through a brand new indigenous unit was coming up, vehicle was coming up post liberalization, and there was a cultural change, and they had to go through, the existing engineers and the workmen had to go through the process of unlearning the old way of doing things and relearning new ways of doing things. There are two things. One is the technical part of it, which is learning about the technical technology, absorbing it. Second is about a new behavior. Whenever you introduce a technology, you need a new behavior. Remember this. So these two had to be done. So I was one of the intervention person who was involved in that. Okay, it was very exciting to see that a large company with a good amount of manpower who are about to launch a new of the first vehicle of its kind in India had to go through this this whole process. And being a change agent into that, it's very, very exciting and very challenging also. Managements of automobile companies are implementing ongoing OD interventions. It's going on very well. Some of the preferred methods of training in the automobile sector are workshop seminar. Actually, in the workshop where the production is going on, segments of it are made into seminar centers. They may show the vehicle or the vehicle parts, functional parts which are there, and through that you learn things, lectures, demonstrations, etc. E-learning training, because of the numbers and the rope and the technological enabling of the automobile units. Instructor-led class and computer-based training. Next, we come to telecom sector. Telecom is one of the fastest growing sectors in India, as you know, with a rapid growth and extensive demand. With the presence of Reliance Jio as a major player in year 2020, the requirement for mobile analysts, software engineers and hardware engineers for mobile handsets has increased. With this rapid growth in telecom sector, the need for trained professionals is bound to rise, and so is the training need. With the increase in competition, availability for huge amount of information through internet, magazines, newspapers, TV, etc., and increased awareness among customers, the demand to impart proper training in soft skill areas like customer care and marketing has increased too. Rapid technological changes, network security threat, mobile application development, growing IP deployment in the sector have brought back the training and development in the priority catalog. It's a very rapidly changing sector, telecom. And this telecom sector has got number of players, local, Indian as well as multinationals are here. They are competing with each other. And because of this, and with the rapid change in technology, which is happening very fast, the people who are working with that are working on various fronts. Technology on one side, customer orientation, service, and all these are going at a very rapid state. So imagine the type of training that you need to give them. Technical training on one side, human resources, behavioral training on the other side, also learning to be competent from time to time, and certain type of attitude of, you know, unlearning and relearning. Okay. Telecom sector is characterized by high intensity of manpower. Yes. Highly skilled technical personnel on one side. Highly skilled soft skill employees, the people who are sitting in the office who are acting as call center people, or maybe they are the people who are doing customer service, who are interacting. It's a service. Highly skilled subject and interface experts. People who are subject experts, we also need them. Frequent upgradation of technology and highly competitive marketing skills. So there are a number of different specialized people who are coming together, converging, and they're making the telecom sector happen. You need to understand this. Now, as a consequence, the trainings that are common are similar to those for an IT company, more or less, not totally. Skills and competences needed to function online effectively on real time. Now, if one of the skills which an IT a person from a telecom sector needs is how to function online effectively on real time, sitting in front of the call, in front of the phone or your laptop or something, and receiving and accepting calls and doing troubleshooting. This is a skill, and that skill has to be very good so that you do not talk the wrong things and lose the business for the company and your customers. To interface as a team member, people are working in teams, and you must know the skill you need to interface as a team member. To attend to customers effectively, you know that customer orientation. Now, many of us get calls from the telecom service providers, and we know how important it is to have a proper customer service person on the other side of the line. To ensure that core operations are smoothly running, core operations being the connectivity, you must get the proper type of signals, and all those things have to be run smoothly, so we need to train them into that. That's coming into hardcore technical. To be a willing and involved learner, unlearner and relearner with rapid changes. So across a telecom company, where we are talking about, every person should be in a position to quickly be nimble into learning, unlearning and relearning. And they must be quick and nimble in responding to any need that is coming up, right? Now we come to the insurance sector. Favorable economic climate and number of other factors such as growing urbanization, increasing consumerism, rise in the standard of living, increase in financial services for people living in rural area, etc., has increased the demand for a wide range of financial products that has led to mutually beneficial growth to the banking sector and the economic growth process. This was coincided by technology developments in the banking operations. We are talking about banking and insurance, right? Both are sort of overlapping in a way. Today, most of the Indian cities have networked banking facility as well as internet banking facility. We all know it, we are using it. Some of the major players in the banking sector are State Bank of India, HDFC Bank, Citibank, ICICI Bank, Punjab National Bank, etc. In the insurance sector also, rapid expansion has created more than 1 million job opportunities over the past 5 years. These openings are mainly in the field of insurance advisors or marketing agents. The eligibility criteria for these jobs is graduation with some experience in marketing or become insurance agents after completing school, but this also needs some relevant training. It's not enough to have a graduation or coming from a B school or something. What's important is that you need to understand the industry and how the industry services and what sort of process they have. That training is given by this sector to the employees who join them. Earlier, there were no training programs such as for insurance agents, but on-the-job training only that was given once a new agent was appointed. So people who have worked in the nationalized companies like LIC and all, you must be knowing that there was hardly any training except something was given in the beginning, not an ongoing basis. But now the scenario has been changed. With the coming up of big players like ICICI Life Insurance, ICICI Lombard, HDFC Life Insurance, Tata AIG, General Insurance, etc., things are very different. They have got an ongoing training happening all the time. Today in this sector, people who have had some formal training are preferred while recruitment because it can be helpful in the insurance field. So those people who have done a little bit of training on their own, you know, with some small groups or something, they know some idea about what is training. They stand an edge over others when it comes to joining this insurance sector. However, only the insurance degree in this field does not guarantee success. There are insurance degrees. Some of you must be knowing about it. There is three levels: licentiate, associate, and fellowship. Okay, there's an insurance college that actually awards this. It's an exam you go through, rigorous exam. Okay, that alone doesn't guarantee success. To be successful, an agent must have a strong interpersonal skills, networking, and communication skills. One of the most important things in insurance, just like in marketing or even more than marketing, is you should have excellent interpersonal skills because you're dealing with something which is psychologically very important for the person. At the same time, it is important for your company, and you must know how to sell it properly. They say people buy insurance, we don't sell it. Any product where people are buying and you can't sell is an area where you need stronger interpersonal skills than normal. Number of opportunities in banking and insurance sector has increased than ever before. With this rapid expansion and coming up of major players like ICICI, HDFC, UTI, Bajaj Alliance, etc. in the sector, the need for human resource development has increased.